Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
I'm so excited because we're going to get to Jonathan Sarfati's editorial in Creation Magazine. Fred, we promoed this about a month ago when we did the show on wasps. That was such a fun show.
Yeah, that's right. And this is a really good editorial. But we've got four news items we want to cover first.
We better talk quickly.
Yeah, we'll do it quickly. You know, so just yesterday, John Glenn, the astronaut, passed away.
That's right. NASA astronaut. American.
Yep. He was the first American to orbit the Earth, but not the first man. There was at least one Russian that did it before him. There was two Russians in space. A couple Americans made it into space. But he was the first one to orbit the Earth.
Wow, that is cool. He's one of those Mercury 7, right? The first test pilots that NASA selected to go into space. And he's now the last one who had survived, who's now passed away. You know, if John Glenn, he's a famous guy, if he asked God to forgive him, and if he's trusted in Jesus Christ, then he's with the Lord right now. And he was a Christian. We don't know his heart, but at least outwardly, is that true? Do you know?
Yeah, apparently he was an elder at a Presbyterian church, but then he also believed in evolution, so he doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
either
regardless
way,
of where he's at, he knows that that was a big mistake.
Either way, right? So, you know, what's interesting is the Russians beating us to space and with Sputnik and all, that was used to promote evolution of all things.
Yeah, it sure was. I first heard about that from a Lutheran teacher at Lutheran High School. And it is really interesting about how they were able to force science, you know, quote unquote science, into the textbooks.
Right.
And it was really a guise for this false science of evolution. That's how evolution got pushed in the textbooks.
Certainly, you don't need evolution to figure out how to shoot a rocket to space. In fact, there's a NASA scientist, Dr. Henry Richter. I mean, he's a real live NASA rocket scientist.
Absolutely.
And he's right now reviewing our video, The Evidence Against the Big Bang, produced by Real Science Radio. And if he gives it a thumbs up, we'll have to let the audience know. Maybe we'll get an endorsement on the back cover.
There you go. Yeah, he's a young Earth creationist. It was a very important scientist for NASA, one of the first ones, Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
So you don't have to believe that we evolved from monkeys or from fish or from worms or goo to the zoo to you. None of that to get a rocket to the moon. You just don't need it. And additionally, Fred, there's another NASA rocket scientist, bona fide rocket scientist, who has invited my wife Cheryl and I to attend an upcoming launch down at Cape Canaveral, who's a longtime listener to Real Science Radio. So we've got our little in with NASA scientist. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you can't give his name, but
no.
At some point, hopefully, we'll be able to do that.
Because of the tolerance of
the
beautiful people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right? Okay, so that's first news story, John Glenn.
Yep.
Hopefully he's with the Lord, but the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment.
Yep.
So when you die, then that's it. Either you're with the Lord because you love God, or you in your life, you say, I don't love God, I don't want to be with him, and he doesn't force himself on you, and then you're not.
Yeah.
Hell is the name of the place people live who do not want to live with God.
That's right.
That's the name
of that
place.
So hopefully he's in heaven.
Yeah. We'll find out, right?
Yep. So, Bob, this next story is really cool. It's from Bryce Canyon. It's a rock formation called the Sentinel.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been there supposedly for millions of years.
Millions.
And the thing came crashing down, and we got to see it because we're so lucky.
No way. Come on. If it's been there for millions of years, Fred, how could it just now? I mean, you know what the chances are?
Yeah, what's the chances?
In fact, we did an entire show, you and I, Real Science Radio's list of the transient events of the solar system, where planet after planet, we are seeing dramatic things happen that you should see like once every 50 million years or 10 million years or 2 million or 2 billion years.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it happen on all these planets.
Yep.
And all right now.
Yep. And lots of things on Earth. And this is yet another example of a transient event on Earth that we're lucky to see happen in this
right.
in our era.
So if all these geologic features all over the Earth are really all millions of years old, it's astounding that we see yeah. so many of them falling apart before our very eyes.
Or maybe they're not that old. You know, maybe.
And that's why the rings of Saturn change dramatically while we're looking at them. And Mercury's magnetic field decays radically while we're measuring yep. it, just like the Earth's has decayed 10% in the last 150 years. So anyway, Fred, okay, so that's our second news story. And folks could find out about that at rsr.org/transient events.
That's right. The third story is something you've been covering quite a bit, not just on Real Science Radio. It's this targeted cancer treatment, right?
Oh, wow.
And using our antibodies?
Yes.
Our immune system?
Yes. So targeted antibodies, we have been reporting on this. The first show we went back to look was 2009, where we did a whole show explaining to the audience how this works, the brilliant design of our immune system. Well, this year, starting back in April, we've done about a show every month or so on cancer treatment using targeted antibodies, because this is the most extraordinary development. And so we've been reporting on studies over in England, here in the U.S., leukemia sufferers, 94% being cured of advanced stage leukemia.
Yep.
Lung cancer sufferers, one guy in hospice, it had metastasized to his vocal cords and his lymph nodes. That means you're dead.
Yeah, and hospice means you're dead, basically.
Right, you're going to die. He gets in hospice, and he puts this last-ditch effort. He's admitted into this targeted antibody study. Within 2 weeks, he's home.
He's home.
He's home. And the doctors, and these are world-famous oncologists in the leading institutions, and they're saying, look, we don't like to use the word cure, but these look like cures. So We've been reporting this. Who knows why the secular media is not giving monthly or weekly updates? Who knows why? I don't know why.
Yeah.
It should be.
Because I know you've always been real careful. You're not a sensationalist, you know, journalist, if I can use that word.
In the extreme, right? In the extreme. So many people, we've been on the air 25 years. Hey, this sovereign silver, this cures cancer. Yeah. Hey, this beta blocker, this cures cancer. It's like everything cures cancer. So we've exposed a lot of these arguments over the years.
Yep.
But in this case, this is all real. And the studies are all with advanced cancer patients.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And so right up the street from us tonight, there's a fundraiser because a 12-year-old beautiful girl lives just outside of the city of Boulder. Her father, in August, was searching for hospice options for his daughter. For 9 years, she suffered with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And now every treatment they tried, nothing was working any longer, and this was it. And her mother desperately fought to get targeted antibody treatment for her daughter. She did. She got a piece of her daughter's tumor, brought it to the company, and said, this is my daughter's tumor. Please make targeted antibodies to take out this tumor. And then they put it in a pill once they target the antibodies.
Oh, okay.
She swallows the pill, and within 2 weeks, Fred, she is recovered. They hate to use the word cure, but she's in full remission.
Yeah.
And instead of going into hospice, they're having a night of celebration tonight.
Yes, that's so amazing.
Yeah, wow. Doug McBurney, my Monday co-host on Bob Inert Live, he and I got tickets. It's $100 a play, and now I'm torn because we have an event at Denver Bible Church. We're going out Christmas caroling and having a worship night, so I don't know which to do, the fundraiser and meet the family and the scientist or the church. I still haven't decided. Maybe one of you guys take my ticket to the fundraiser. But at any rate, praise God. And the mom, Nicole Mattson, said this: everyone with cancer needs to have some kind of targeted antibody treatment.
Yeah. And we agree.
Yes.
We definitely agree.
Big time news. And then that was three. You said we had four news stories.
Well, we have another one here, and this is on pot smokers. And I know you've covered this quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Really good information on, you know, the effects of marijuana. It's amazing. It's bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, even passing your genes down to your offspring if you're a pot smoker.
Yeah, your children and grandchildren.
They could be affected by your pot smoking.
They now know that you are mutating your DNA, and including the DNA you send to your kids.
Yep.
Your grandkids could be born with deformities because you were a pothead.
Yep.
Just horrific. But that's not the latest study. The reason we're mentioning this in the news is because there's a brand new study. You could find it at rsr.org/pot. Fred, they got 1,000 U.S. pot smokers. It wasn't hard. They just went down on 16th Street Mall in Denver and talked to the first 1,100 people. They got 1,000 pot smokers.
Or one classroom at CU.
Yeah, right. They got 1,000 U.S. pot smokers, and the control group was 100 Americans who didn't smoke marijuana. And they measured the rate of blood flow throughout your brain. And the finding was stunning. This is in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. Just go to rsr.org/pot. It's right at the top. Click. You could read the paper. Fred, let me ask you, how many of the 1,000 potheads had low blood flow throughout their brain?
I can't remember, Bob. I wonder if there's something wrong with me. No, all 1,000.
All
1,000.
How many studies 1,000 do you read where it's 1,000. Everybody?
Every single one.
It's 1,000.
That's pretty definitive.
Out of 1,000 have low blood flow. And what's even worse than that is in the brain's memory region,
yes,
where they see that dementia develops.
Mm-hmm.
That is especially restricted blood flow. And everyone knows that potheads have bad memory. Everybody
Absolutely.
Knows that.
Yeah.
It's cliche.
Yeah.
The government makes ads, potheads on Jeopardy. And they say, what did you have for breakfast? And they're like, and then they say, well, what do you do for a living? Bacon and eggs. It's like the government makes fun of people who smoke pot.
Yeah.
Because of, we all know that, well, now we're learning more of why, the biochemical reasons.
Yes. And, you know, if this trend continues where these states are legalizing marijuana and more people are doing it, mm-hmm, we can make another prediction at Real Science Radio that you're going to have an increase in dementia cases.
Increase in dementia? We should make that prediction. You know, another study this year, 2016, 1 minute of secondhand marijuana smoke, it appears like it damages blood vessels. One minute of being
wow.
at a party where somebody's smoking pot. And imagine being in that classroom at CU. Imagine that.
Yeah. Wow.
So at any rate, what a disaster. And when people Google negative effects of marijuana, that's a super competitive search term, marijuana. But we're climbing. We're just about on page one now. So people in the audience could help Google negative effects of marijuana and then find us. You might have to click to page two. Click on it, and we should be on page one real soon.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I know we've already talked about this in prior shows on pot, and I just wanted this one other bullet you have on the website.
Yeah.
And this came actually from the Daily Mail headlines, and it was from the journal Clinical Psychological Science.
Yeah.
And they quoted, the more pot you smoke, the more likely you are to be a loser.
Yeah, that was their that was the headline, their summary of that peer-reviewed paper in the scientific journal. Yeah, the more pot you smoke, the more likely you are to be a loser, and your kids and your grandkids.
Yeah, yep.
Just, you know, sin has consequences.
Yep.
As the Bible says, some people's sins are visited to the second and third generations. Hey, yeah, yep. This happens.
Yep.
So, Fred, we get to CMI, Creation Ministries International, out of Australia. They've got an office here in the U.S. They've got offices around the world. They publish our favorite creation magazine. It's called
Creation Magazine.
And Jonathan Sarfati, one of my favorite creation scientists, wrote the editorial for this issue. This is the volume 38, number 4 issue, the last of 2016. And you and I loved it so much, we want to read the whole editorial. But CMI made a 2-minute YouTube video where they talk about this. This is what happens to people who don't learn about creation, who go to church, they don't learn, and then they're challenged in their godless public school, in the high school and grammar mm-hmm. school and college, and they fall away, so many.
Yep.
So they made this awesome video we're going to watch right now, you guys will hear the soundtrack. And as they talk to each of the college students, they put up on the screen this neat little graphic where they're checking off two columns. Like, do you believe in biblical creation or evolution? What were you taught in church? Do you still attend church or not? And it's just amazing. So let's hear this from Creation Ministries International.
66 to 88% of young people are leaving the church, never to return. And you will see a direct correlation with those who've remained in the faith and those who've left the church.
Creation or evolution, which do you believe?
I'd probably have to say evolution.
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 Is there any powerful argument that makes you think evolution is true that causes that confusion?
I think the studies that have been done on apes and monkeys are pretty compelling.
I think that the genetic sequence can change over time, over millions and billions of years.
Mostly fossil records and just databases of really just the fossil records.
In your church background, were you ever exposed to any scientific evidence for creation by your church leaders, pastors, anything like that?
Definitely not.
Nothing in particular, no.
No, I don't believe so.
Do you still attend church today or not anymore?
Only for holidays.
We kind of stopped going together as a family, but...
You see, there's one worldview that every single person in this country has been exposed to. The idea that evolution is true and that the Bible's account of origins is nothing more than fairy stories. When we demonstrate to believers that the evidence strongly supports the historical account of the Bible, not only is their faith ignited, but they become excited about sharing the Bible's truth with family, friends, neighbors, and even co-workers.
Did your church leaders, student leaders, bring in any creation teaching that showed you there was scientific evidence to support the Bible's account of creation?
Yes. Yeah, we learned a lot about different creationist scientists and the proof of young earth creationism.
What are you studying now?
Biology.
Biology, right. Steeped in evolution. So, but you're not convinced by the evolutionary arguments in your biology classes?
No.
Still attend church today?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, every Sunday.
Would it be fair to say then that being able to discuss creation openly at church has helped strengthen you in that area, prepare you for what you've learned here at college about evolution?
Yes.
What an awesome video. That's really good. We're going to link to it from the website.
Yes, and that was the voice of Gary Bates asking the students questions. He's the CEO of Creation Ministries International, and that leads us perfectly into this editorial by scientist Jonathan Sarfati. He's been published in the journal Nature. Brilliant, brilliant man.
He is. And, his editorial, it really hit me because I know it's true what he's saying, because I've heard these people that claim, oh, you got to teach evolution because it'll actually strengthen people's faith. They're not going to believe if you don't believe in science and this and that. They're going to believe in fairy tales. The opposite is true. So he starts this off by saying, many people in the church claim that consistent creation teaching turns people away from the gospel. However, both logic and many testimonies find exactly the opposite. Capitulation on creation turns people off.
Yes. Capitulation, when the church gives up. And Fred, all the mainline denominations, they're all dead. And they gave up on creation half a century ago.
They did.
And they've been teaching Darwinism. Just like the church in England, which the mainline church is dead vis-a-vis the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And there's conservative churches that they don't want to be confrontational, so it's even hard to get this stuff into some conservative churches.
Oh, yeah. So they're very hesitant. They don't want to come out of the closet. They say, well, we believe in creation, but you don't need to say it publicly.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So then what I'd like to do is read Jonathan's entire editorial. We never do that, Fred. We never read an entire article. This is a one-page Creation Magazine editorial that I think we should share the whole thing. So Dr. Sarfati says, conversely, consistency with creation teaching has helped many. And that's absolutely true. They grow in the faith when they learn about creation. I remember going back to Pepperdine University where I got to give a talk on theistic evolution. It's on YouTube. It's got 1,000 to 2,000 views on our YouTube channel. Just go to rsr.org, click on YouTube, the tab at the top, and it's really fun, the Pepperdine Trading Genesis presentation. Well, while I was there, they had their own lectures going on throughout the week. And so I went to a talk given by the president of Barna Research.
They're
the most prestigious Christian polling organization in the country. And the president's name, David Kinnaman. Fred, he spoke, and I just wanted to get up out of my chair and go up there and take the mic from him. I mean, we did that once at a Planned Parenthood event down in Colorado Springs. Wow. We took over the entire event. They said, if you want to sign our poster, just come right up here. So I went right up there. Some of our other pro-lifers, we went right up on stage, and they were shocked that we pro-lifers went up there. So then I grabbed the microphone. I just started preaching.
Oh, wow.
Totally. The police were there. It was a big event, but I didn't do anything I wasn't invited to do.
Exactly.
And we took over the stage, and they never got control of their rally back. That was like 8 minutes into the rally. It was hysterical. Anyway, that's beside the point. I wanted to do that with Barna up there at Pepperdine because he said the exact opposite of what Jonathan is saying. Mm-hmm. He said the reason we are losing our students is because they believe in creation.
Oh, my goodness.
They need to believe in science. And you know what I found fascinating about it? He gave a one-hour talk. Every claim he made was backed up by their surveys, their scientific polling.
Mm-hmm.
Not that claim. He offered not a shred of evidence for his claim that we can't teach the global flood, we can't teach creation, we have to teach billions of year old Earth and evolution. Otherwise, we're going to lose our kids. And the exact opposite is the truth.
It is the truth. I'm amazed listening to you tell about this. I didn't actually get to see your presentation. I'm like, well, wait a minute, Barna? I would have thought it was the opposite, that their studies would show that. Well, just as you've confirmed, they don't have any evidence to back up his claim that you have to believe.
No, I don't believe that they do. Yeah. And you know what? These pollsters, did they get the election right? Remember Jesus said, if I tell you some earthly thing and you don't believe it, how will you believe when I tell you some heavenly thing? Well, it's the opposite with the pollsters. If they get an earthly thing so wrong, why should we believe them when they're talking about some spiritual truth?
So true.
Wow. So at any rate, it's overwhelmingly clear from history that when Christian organizations adopt an old earth evolutionary worldview, they gradually drift away from the gospel.
Yeah. And I bet you a lot of our listeners, if not 90% of them, who knows, experience the same thing with themselves. I did personally. Mm. I mean, I was a carnal Christian for 30 years until I heard a certain guy on TV, Bob Inyart. And plus, you know, a pastor that I met.
And we did a lot of science.
And we did a lot of science.
Yeah.
It actually really bolstered my faith because I believed a lot of silly, goofy stuff. And, you know, it really got me interested in the Bible when I realized, hey, this stuff is actually true.
So,
plus, I was mad. I was brainwashed. But it was a combination of a lot of things. And it was just really neat to read the Bible and know that, hey, this stuff about long lives and, you know, the global flood and, you know, so many things in Genesis, you can actually believe they actually were true.
A world full of evidence for the global flood and even for creation. And you no longer have to believe the adult fairy tales like aliens and a multiverse and we evolved from fish and all that stuff.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about aliens like Stephen Hawking says we should.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So to continue with Dr. Sarfati's editorial, he writes, we can see this in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul reminded them of the gospel, including the resurrection of Jesus. Then he explained the reason the gospel is needed, because our ancestor Adam had brought physical death into the world because of his sin.
And since death is the punishment for human sin, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, took on human nature so that he could die and pay the penalty for the sin of all believers. So this reminded me of the 1 year I was in Bible study fellowship. There was a Christian man
there. Wasn't that a woman's Bible study?
It was actually started.
What were you doing in?
It was started by a woman, apparently.
Yeah, which is wonderful, of course.
Yeah.
Is it a woman's study or no? I thought
well,
it was.
So there's women's groups.
Come on, tell us the truth.
It wasn't a co-ed Bible study, actually.
Oh.
They have women's groups, and then they have men's groups.
Okay.
So anyways, you know, I was kind of a rebel in it because you're not supposed to use verses outside of the context of the passages you're studying.
Right, right.
And they had their reasons for that. And, yeah. You know, I was taken to the woodshed a few times by the leader. And
good
anyways,
for you.
But one of the guys, we were talking about creation after the Bible study, you know, and we were just kind of hanging out afterwards. And he said the number one reason he decided to believe in a literal Genesis, you know, a young earth and a global flood, mm-hmm. was because of the death before sin issue. He said that one really hit home with him. He said that made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How can you have death
right
before the first sin? Millions of years of death, you know, cancer and all these bad things in the fossil record would be millions of years.
Yeah. And
of
Christianity
death, disease,
today,
suffering.
Their cover story where they said, we don't believe there was an Adam and Eve.
Yep.
Search for the historical Adam. We did a whole show on that. We got quite a webpage on it.
Yep.
So,
and, you know, and I did a conference years ago for the Lutheran Missouri Synod for their youth conference, and they gave talks on creation. Well, there's a guy there that gave a talk on like psychological stuff. I can't even remember what. He didn't talk about evolution, but during our breakfast that we'd have all the kids around, he said, well, I believe in evolution. It's just God is a pool player that shoots a lot of shots. And I told him, that sounds like God was a really bad pool player. I mean, millions of missed all shots, the, all those millions
all the
of years.
Misery and death,
yeah.
in the fossil record.
Yep.
Right.
Thought
where
that was
where
a silly
God
analogy,
is trying but... to come up with Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
If God took billions of years to create the heavens and earth, how long is he going to take to make the new heavens and the new earth?
Yeah.
Are we going to have to wait millions or billions of years? Or is God just going to make the new heavens and the new earth?
I think he's going to just make them, and it's going to be the real Big Bang. There's going to be a real Big Bang. It's not
wow.
the one that we're taught in the schools.
Wow, that's going to be wild.
So Sarfati goes on to say that the same people who don't want to challenge the atheist origin myth, you know, evolution, mm-hmm. naively think that they will leave the rest of Christian faith alone, which we know is not true.
Oh, in other words, the atheists have their own creation myth. But the rest of it will all be okay. Well, they yeah. attack the whole Bible.
Oh, the whole Bible. Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. However, the atheists realize that if they get Christians to capitulate on the first book of the Bible and one of the easiest to understand, the rest should be easy.
That's absolutely true.
It
like,
is.
Say the Exodus. The second book of the Bible is Exodus. They attack the Exodus. They say it never happened. You get to Joshua and the fall of Jericho. They say that never happened. And they take that through the whole Bible. And as we cover in that video, Trading Genesis, about Pepperdine University, because they're evolutionists there, we show all the biblical teachings that the theistic evolutionist professors reject.
Yeah. And they attack the foundation of the Bible, and it's a very clever strategy. Mm-hmm. To me, it'd be like going into a library and grabbing a book on aviation. You're really into planes, maybe World War II planes
yeah.
or World War I or modern jets. And the very first chapter has like flying saucers in it and silly,
yeah, you're not gonna,
totally fairy tale contraptions. You're going to put the book down and find another one. It's like,
yeah.
oh, that book's no good.
You're not going to respect it.
You're not going to respect it. And that's what they're doing. And it's been very effective.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to believe the rest of the Bible. Why believe the history of the resurrection if you can't believe the simple history taught in early chapters of Genesis?
And Fred, on the historicity of the Exodus, we've been doing a verse by verse study through the Bible going on 25 years now. Recording it, audio, video, and Lord willing, we'll see if the Lord tarries, unless he returns, or if I survive long enough, we'll maybe finish the whole Bible from a young earth creationist perspective. It's really a fun study. Well, 17 years ago, we had been in the Old Testament for a long time. We'd gone through Genesis, halfway through Exodus, and I said, guys, we're at a good break point. We did the Exodus story. We did the Exodus code on the criminal justice system and mm-hmm. all that. Now, before we get to Exodus symbols, let's go to the New Testament.
Hmm.
We went to the New Testament. That was 17 years ago.
Wow.
We are now in January 2017, getting ready to go back to Exodus. And in the meantime, so much historical evidence has been uncovered, showing, affirming the truth, the historicity of the Jews in Egypt.
Yeah, there's a really good video out on that, right?
Oh, the documentary called Patterns of Evidence, which is
phenomenal.
And I
think you can see that on Netflix, right?
Yes, you can. And tons of additional archaeological and historical information affirming the truth of the Exodus. So what we're going to do is assemble all that information on a list. Maybe we'll do another classic RSR list show.
Yeah, we need to do a show on this.
Wouldn't that be cool? Real Science Radio's list of the historical evidence for the Exodus. And right now, if you go to our website, rsr.org/exodus, you'll see the first 5 or 6 bullets of that list will gradually begin to grow it.
Yeah, we got to do a show on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That'll be fun.
So Sarfati continues in his editorial, unsurprisingly, along with Christian doctrine, Christian morality is also under severe attack. Evils like prenatal baby butchery.
Abortion.
I'm glad he says baby butchery.
Yeah, because that's what it is.
Abortion, he puts in parentheses, are not only legal in most Western nations, but are funded by money coerced from taxpayers. Mm-hmm. How true is that?
Yeah, sad.
Then he says, Christians have been fined and even jailed for refusing to support homosexual marriage.
Yeah. How many stories of those are out there right
now? Oh, yeah. And, you know, our vice president-elect, Mike Pence, people are all excited. They say he's a conservative Christian. Well, I've written a profile of Mike Pence as the governor of Indiana. He passed a law that basically says if you don't do what the homosexuals tell you to do, they can sue you.
Yeah, that's right. He capitulated, from what I remember.
He capitulated.
Yep.
Within a week, he was going to uphold religious liberties. He got a lot of flack for it, and he signed a law that was the exact opposite of religious liberties. It was homosexual coercion of Christians who don't want to support homosexual marriage and other such behavior.
It all boils down to a spiritual battle of attacking the Bible. You know, you got this 2-3% group, homosexuals. Yeah. They get the liberals and the Republicans behind them.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's a battle from Satan, from
the
principalities.
We have quite a webpage about homosexuality, rsr.org/homosexuality. It's mind-boggling, all the truth. And that's a debate I had with a leading homosexual activist on that page. And that is our main landing page, so to speak, for all the information you may need as a Christian about homosexuality.
And didn't you recently have a conversation with a former homosexual?
Oh, boy. Fred, just last week, I was supposed to interview a leading former homosexual, a woman. I won't give her name, you know, real nice gal.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked up our website. And the day we're supposed to do the interview, she backed out. She canceled. We talked. We had a great conversation for 10 minutes. She said, Bob, you guys criticize homosexuals. You're too confrontational. And I said, I totally understand your thinking on that. And, you know, we don't mind at all. Of course, you get to decide who you want to do an interview with. But could I share with you examples of all the people who have come to the Lord who were homosexuals, who got saved through this ministry, through this broadcast?
Yeah. You've got a video of one that's really interesting.
Terry's call.
Oh, yeah.
Just stunning. Lord willing, we'll be putting that on YouTube real soon.
Oh, good.
Terry's call.
But in the meantime, you can get that in the store, right?
Yes, kgov.com.
Very, very
interesting. Click on the store.
Very good.
Yeah.
Tough love, but it worked. He called up
and said, Bob, you're a pitiful excuse for a human being and a Christian. I said, what'd you say? And he repeated it. And by the end of the segment, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, he prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive him of his sin, including his homosexuality.
And it's because you were just being really nice to him and telling him, I love you, and you're okay. And
yeah, no, I didn't do any of that. I basically shared with him the kinds of things Jesus said,
yes.
The prophets said,
yep.
The apostles said, and sometimes they were very tender and gentle when people were humble and repentant.
Mm-hmm.
But at other times when people were bragging about their sin, the Lord was very confrontational, and so were the prophets and the apostles.
Yep.
So, wow. So she canceled, but Fred, we had a great talk, and I asked her, and I said, let's just give her a name. Let's say she's Patty, all right? I asked Patty, what do you think our church is beginning to accept homosexuality? And she said, it's horrific. It is terrible.
Yep.
This tolerance and even defense of this sexual perversion that destroys people by the millions.
Yeah, destroys people.
Yeah.
You're not showing them love by tolerating that sin. It's like tolerating a heroin addict. Their life expectancy is greatly reduced.
Yeah, right.
All kinds of
things. You're not
going
to warn somebody who's shooting up heroin. You're not going. If you love them, you're going to warn them.
Yep.
The same thing about fornication, pornography, homosexuality. If you love them, you're going to warn them. You're not going to defend their sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to her, well, you see, you know, we've made a list on our website. We call it our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay, of national ministries, mega churches, Christian leaders who are being homosexualized in that they are increasingly embracing homosexuality as a healthy lifestyle and homosexuals as church members in good standing. And so, Fred, I tried to pin that somewhat on her.
Yeah.
Because I said, you know, as the church has been taught to respect homosexuals, it was only a small step to respecting their sin. And that's what's happened.
Yep.
And the church no longer knows right from wrong because a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yeah.
And so, wow, very
isn't that so true?
Significant. I asked her, I said, would you read one of our articles? She said yes. And so the one I recommended were, Are All Sins Equal?
Yeah, what a good article.
Isn't that? We have a quiz on it.
Yeah, you can, a quiz you can take with you and present
it
to your friends.
Yeah, you can print it out. Yeah. In fact, tonight, Fred, there's a dinner party in Denver going on this evening, and the host has printed out a dozen of these quizzes and is going to have everybody sit around the dining room table, and they're going to read the questions one by one. They're all multiple choice, and each person could answer how they think, and it's going to be, I can't wait to hear how it went.
Yeah. You know, because in a Bible study that I go to occasionally at my church, there's people that come and go, and there's a lot of people that are really knowledgeable about the Bible. And there's this one lady that I mentioned this to, and she respects me. We respect each other because we both know that, you know, we study the word and we're serious about it. And when I told her this, that not all sins are equal, she's like, that's not true. Where's the Bible verse that supports that? Well, the one that immediately came to mind is the one about, you know, who committed the greater sin?
Oh, yeah. When Jesus says, who has the greater sin?
Who has the greater sin? Is that a clue maybe that there is a difference?
So when you say that to Christians, in my experience, they simply reject it out of hand.
Yeah. Yep.
We had a listener years ago.
Now, this particular lady didn't. She wanted to know the verse and was going to go look
praise
it up.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord
for absolutely.
Her humility.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Fred, we had a listener in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who said this to a church member that sins are not all equal. And read that verse. And this church member totally rejected it. So then they had the service, and the church member's flipping through her Bible during the service and comes across that verse. And there's a footnote in her study Bible, and it says, not all sins are equal, which is stunning that there's a study Bible that says that.
Yeah.
Because that's a Christian cliche that is not true, that you're not allowed to question. So
that's
pretty
right,
good study.
It's amazing how many Christians believe that.
Yeah.
Well-studied Christians.
Taught on Christian radio from the pulpit and all.
Yeah.
So anyway, she comes up to our listener after and says, look at this. Points to the footnote and says, it's true. All sins are not equal. And our listener said, why do you believe the footnote but not the Bible?
So true. Good point.
Yeah. Excellent. Brightest audience in the country.
And if that's not the only verse, there's plenty of others. And that quiz has a lot of other, you know, obviously the other verses. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a multiple choice quiz. You don't have to think too hard. You just circle the right answer.
You have a 1 in 4 chance.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Bob, we've been having so much fun talking about this. It turns out we're out of time. We're only halfway through this article.
Yes. So, Fred, if you can join us back in studio with Jamie Schofield.
I don't think you've put me on assignment next week, have you?
You'll be in the
U.S. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Lord willing, we will continue with Dr. Jonathan Sarfati's editorial.
You could send me to Hawaii, you know. I'd go on assignment there.
You would?
Yeah.
Haleakala?
Yeah.
Maui?
You've got a friend,
a
park ranger.
Who lives,
I thought he had a park ranger friend out there.
Yeah, on Maui.
Yep.
In fact, he's the ranger for Haleakala. Actually, I hate to say it, he just left.
Oh.
And he's now in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Could you imagine going from Maui to Las Vegas?
Yeah. Huh.
It's hard to imagine.
That is hard to imagine.
But
here we are on another tangent.
We got a lot of friends because we were on the air in Hawaii for years. Honolulu.
Well, you're on the air everywhere because people can get you on podcasts. They can go to the internet. A lot of people listen that way.
Today, that's true. Now, we were on TV in 80 cities from Honolulu yep. to Orlando, Florida for years.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 years.
You had really good ratings. 5 nights
a week for an yep. hour. Oh, our Nielsen ratings were, I mean, the Christian comparable networks
we were to Conan, on, which is amazing.
Yeah. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
The late night guy?
The barbarian? Conan?
No, a different Conan.
Okay, Conan, the O'Brien. Conan the O'Brien.
We, in fact, I still have the Nielsen books from when we were on TV.
Okay.
Where we would be occasionally network programming on Christian TV stations, which was unheard of. But because we did this kind of science and so many people were fascinated by real science instead of the adult fairy tales like evolution in the Big
Bang. And you weren't the Christian, quote unquote, preacher on the TV that all these guys are so phony. You
we weren't syrupy.
I came across your like, show. That's how I met
bless,
you.
Brother, bless you for calling. Yeah. Oh, forget that.
I would every now and then watch these shows, not because I was interested in, you know, learning yeah. the truth, to irritate myself. You know how you look at a car yeah. wreck when you're driving by?
Right.
It's every now and then it's like, hey, watch this stupid.
You would turn on Christian television?
Yeah, to watch these
to see
idiots.
How annoying it was.
Yeah, there's like Jim Baker saying that if you don't send in money, I'm going to, or you're going to
die.
You're
going to,
exactly. Oh, he would do that. I told my roommate thing. That, who was at that time a Bible-believing Christian. I was a carnal Christian.
Fred, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, well, that's not true. We turned it there. And the very moment we turned it there, he was doing that.
He was doing that.
So that's how I found your show.
Mike Murdoch, addicted to pornography, rips off his audience members, a number of these televangelists in the sin of homosexuality, and just horrific, an embarrassment to the body of Christ.
Yeah. So then I saw your show expecting to, you know, here's another irritating guy.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, this guy's making sense. Mm. And this guy's kind of funny too. There was good science.
And we were on the network with all the televangelists and we were making fun of all the televangelists.
Yeah. That's right.
It was yep. just, I don't yep. know how we got away with it.
Yep.
At the end of the show, you know how it would say, the views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of, well, we would reverse it. And we would say, the views expressed on LaCie Broadcasting are not necessarily those of Bob in Your Life. And we would do that. Yeah. We would get in so much trouble when they caught it, but they didn't yeah. always catch it. So yep. what a fun time.
And you had a Democratic congresswoman who tried to get you kicked off the air. She succeeded for what, a couple days?
Oh,
so much here, for free speech.
Here in Denver, Pat Schroeder.
Pat Schroeder.
And in Wisconsin, U.S. Senator Russ Feingold.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Asked the FCC to investigate our show. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we did get kicked off the air for a few days.
That guy recently lost re-election attempt.
Yeah, you're right. And then the homosexuals in Denver on the Lambda Report, the first weekly homosexual TV broadcast in the country,
mm-hmm.
when my show got canceled, Bob and Your Live, they literally celebrated. They popped a champagne cork on the air in Port Champagne, celebrating that Bob and Your Live was canceled.
Wow.
So that Monday, at our normal time slot, 10 in the evening, we come back on the air, the Bob and Your Live opening music plays, and I ask the producer to keep the screen totally black. But our music is playing. And the music plays. And
I think I remember that,
and
actually.
I say, just when the homosexuals thought it was safe to turn on the TV. We're back. It was just so much fun.
Oh, man.
So we've had a great time for 25 years
yeah,
now.
Yep.
And Lord willing, Fred, with all you've done, and Jamie, who is our engineer for Real Science Radio, and Larry Wolf, our producer, and so many, Daryl Berkey, with God's blessing, will continue to reach people for this next year, 2017.
Yep.
It's a labor of love for virtually everyone associated with Bob and Your Live, TheologyThursday.com, and Real Science.
And thank
Radio.
Goodness for that really big church we have backing us, right?
Oh, yeah. Mega church
yeah.
and a foundation. Actually, it's just us, the listener, and the Lord.
And that's it. So
yeah.
really could use your help out there, too.
Yeah, it's
so
the, it's
you
the
don't
end
ever
of the
like
year.
Ask that stuff, but it's,
if someone
it's how
could
we
make,
stay afloat.
Yeah. If somebody could make a donation. Now, if you need a tax deduction, go to our website, rsr.org, and click on donate, and you can make the donation to Denver Bible Church.
Yep. A great church.
So people who give larger donations, they'll often do that. If you don't need the tax deduction, then Bob and Your Live and Real Science Radio really need the help. And boy, it's the end of the year and going into the next year. It would be such a huge blessing if people could either subscribe to our monthly Bible studies or videos, or buy some of our science materials, or just make a one-time or an automatic monthly donation. That would be awesome.
It would be. Yeah, please help out if you can. It'd be great. Really would be.
Fred Williams, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob. It was fun.
And to the audience, this is Bob Enyart for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.